Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Duncan had it. They turned it over. Alley-oop back to Kevin.
Oh, baby! Woo! KD!
You can see it coming, and the building is electric off that slam dunk.
Oh! Josh Okogie! May the force be with you! Oh, my goodness, Carl Anthony Towns! He is not human! He is catastrophic!
Hello and welcome to the Believe in Timberwolves podcast, part of the Believe Network. I'm your host, Brendan Hedke, sitting across from Doug West. How's it going today, Doug?
It's going well. It's playoff time. Regular season's over. So it's time to see where we're going to go.
For sure. And Doug and I were talking a little bit texting before we sat down to record. We're not going to talk much about Tuesday's game against the Clippers, mostly because due to scheduling things, especially on my end being busy the last couple of days, didn't have time to record much preview for the Clippers game, which is fine. A bunch of other people have recorded a ton about it. So we're not going to do much on that. We'll maybe hit a couple notes, but most of you listening probably are hearing this after the game anyways, because we're recording at like 4 p.m. Central time on the day of the game. So we're not going to talk too much about that. But even if we could talk a little bit for a couple minutes about it, Doug, I just want like a quick 1 minute. What are you looking for tonight? What are you looking forward to? And who are you picking to win this Clippers game? That way when people listen, they can see if you were right or wrong and if I was right or wrong.
Yeah, well, I think it's going to be a very, very challenging game. It's really interesting that the T-Wolves played the Clippers three times in November. They played four times this year. They're 1-3 versus them. Their lone win came in their game in January, which was 2 months ago. And since then, the Clippers have added Norman Powell. They've added Robert Covington, some very good shooters, very good players, veteran-led team. And I'm not even sure. Well, actually, I guess in November, Marcus or Markeith, one of the Morris brothers. I'm sure he played then. He wasn't knocked out yet. So
I think he played. I think he might have only played one time against the Wolves this year.
Got you. Yeah, and it's also a team that Cat only has played one time against. So it's a very interesting game. I mean, the Clippers are a totally different team. The Wolves are a totally different team. So I expect a tight-nosed battle. I'm sure Patrick Beverley is going to have a lot to do with it. And I really want the Wolves to win this game. I want them to win this game tonight and get that seventh seed.
For sure. Yeah. I, like you said, I mirror everything you just said there. It's going to be a tough one. They have a lot of size, like bigger wings to throw at Cat with, and then Zubac can just kind of, roam around the paint to try and double off stuff. So that's going to be, that's been the way to stop Cat this year. So I'm just interested to see in one game how well Cat can handle that. Like you, I really want the Timberwolves to win, but if there's a gun to my head and I have to pick, I don't think I can say that I would pick the Timberwolves to win this game, which sucks. And hopefully by the time people listen to this on Wednesday morning, I'm wrong, but I guess that's just how I'm feeling at this specific time.
Well, I totally understand that. I mean, you know, as I look at the teams and I think of, you know, the experience that the Clippers have, you know, as far as coaching, as far as the players that have been there, it does seem like a game that the Clippers would win. But I'm just hoping that, you know, we talked about it, that home court advantage. We're just hoping that this playoff atmosphere today can just give the Wolves players that little burst, that little push they'll need at the end of the game. I think it's going to come down to the last 5 minutes of the game and who's able to make plays.
For sure. It definitely will. Well, Doug and I are going to, for the bulk of this episode, talk about our award picks. We're not going to go too long today. But before we do that, we do have to get in a quick word from a sponsor, and then we'll be right back to start that up. Our partners at BetOnline continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest sports developments, including updated odds on the NBA playoffs, fights, and even next season's futures. And don't forget that the MLB is back as well. Who are you picking to win the World Series? BetOnline has continued to be your source for all your sports wagering needs, including live betting and your favorite Vegas casino and poker games. It's super easy to get started, so head to the website today or use your mobile device to join and use promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, it's where the game starts. All right, so we are back. Doug and I are talking about, well, last time we talked, we did our All-NBA teams, went through that. Obviously, I left off Kevin Durant and LeBron James for my teams, which was my hot button topic. But today we're going to talk more about the individualized awards. That's MVP, Rookie of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year, Sixth Man, Most Improved, Coach of the Year. So I guess my question for you, Doug, is do you want to start with the least prestigious awards and make our way up to the MVP?
Let's work our way up. Let's work our way up to, you know, to the peak here. Let's get to the mountaintop.
So then, in my opinion, the one that people probably care the least about, unless you're a sicko, like some people, like me, maybe even, is Coach of the Year. and I guess I'll start off first. I don't know how you did this. We kind of just said, get your picks or whatever. I have my top three for most of these awards written down. And if you see me looking down, I got it. I got it on my phone. if you see me looking down, I got them written down here. So I'll just go Coach of the Year. My third guy I had was Spoelstra. I had Taylor Jenkins as my second. And then I had Monty Williams as my first pick. And I guess I can just give a synopsis. Monty Williams should have won last year over Tom Thibodeau, in my opinion. And I think that it was a crime that he didn't. And there's been some really impressive coaches this year. I would love for Taylor Jenkins to get this award. But Monty Williams cannot go these past two seasons without having an award. He can't go these years, be the number one team in the league twice in a row and not win the Coach of the Year. So I have to give it to him this year. If he would have won it last year, maybe my mind would be changed. I would have looked at other guys, and maybe that's a bad way to look at this, but he deserves one. So that's who I went with this time.
All right. Well, I did this, you know, similar thing there. I went with two people in some of these, you know, so my Coach of the Year, Taylor Jenkins, was number two, and Monty Williams was number one. And I totally agree with you. I thought Monty should have won last year. I think Monty has done an outstanding job, you know, bouncing back from a finals loss, and his team had the best record in the NBA. Just been a great leader, great motivator of that team. And I totally agree with you. He should be Coach of the Year.
Yeah. And I had a couple other honorable mentions. I just wanted to give a shout out to Ime Udoka for the Celtics, who's done a fantastic job turning that team around after their early struggles.
Totally agree with that.
And then got to give a shout out to Chris Finch, who just got a 4-year contract extension with the Timberwolves. Cause he's done a fantastic job with the Timberwolves since he's got here too. So I just want to give some love, but those guys, I think between Monty and Taylor Jenkins, they have the strongest cases. And then those other three names I mentioned deserve some respect, but like, there's a lot of great coaches in the league, but those, I mean, I think Monty Williams and Taylor Jenkins have done a fantastic job this season.
Yeah. I think they've been not head and shoulders, but they've been above the rest. And, you know, shout out to Coach Finch, you know, getting that paper.
Yeah, for sure. And as fans, I think the fans should be happy that he got that extension too, because he's, I mean, one of the better coaches the Timberwolves have had. ever and for sure in a long time. And it'd be good to have some consistency on that, you know, on the bench, because they really haven't had that for years.
Yeah. One of the things that I, you know, with Coach Finch coming in, if I'm not mistaken, the Wolves are, they led the league in scoring this year.
They scored the most points this year.
Scored the most points per game this year. You know, 3-point attempts up, shooting percentage up.
I think they led the league in 3-point makes also.
3-point makes.
If I remember correctly.
No, yeah. You're correct. And corner threes especially.
Yeah.
And that's funny because when we were in Houston, the thing was always about corner threes. And you know, they said that's the easiest, the highest percentage shot on the court. And the Wolves have done a very good job with it.
Yeah, and I think Chris Finch has obviously deserved a lot of credit for all of those things because of
the sets
and everything that he's installing. I guess this is up to you if you want to go between most improved player, sixth man of the year, is which one you want to go next. I kind of think of them kind of in the same tier of like prestige. So you can pick which one we're doing and then give me your pick for that one.
All right, well, let's go with the most improved player. You know, I came down to four guys with the most improved player. You know, Jordan Poole, Desmond Bane, and Darius Garland. And, you know, back and forth, you know, thinking, looking through some stats and stuff. I did do that this time. I got my stats down. And I'm going to go with Darius Garland this year. I think Darius Garland, he came into the season, wasn't expected to have everything thrown on him. And once he got thrown into the point guard and the shooting guard role, he pretty much does them both. I think he led the team in scoring, led the team in assist, and he was an all-star, you know, first year all-star. I don't think many people really looked at the Cleveland Cavaliers as a team that was going to be in the playoffs, really. I mean, when you really think about it, and they just had a wonderful season. You know, even right there, JB Bickerstaff could have been in that conversation for Coach of the Year as well. So another very good job done by him. And I'm going to go with Garland.
So you named three guys. You said Bane, Poole, Garland.
I think I named four. Oh, Bridges would have been the fourth. Oh, Miles Bridges.
Okay.
Bridges would have been the fourth. Yes.
Okay. So I only wrote down three names. I had, so in third, if I were to rank three, DeJounte Murray would have been my third guy. I think he's done a fantastic job. Obviously his team has not been very good this year. But I think what he's done for San Antonio has been fantastic. Darius Garland came in at second on my ballot. Like you said, he thought he'd have a running mate in Colin Sexton, and Colin Sexton only got to play 11 games. So Garland led the team in scoring, like you said, also one of the best passers in the entire league, and first time all-star, just did great. Nobody really expected him to be an all-star. So I had to give him some love. Another person I've seen a lot of people talk about is Ja Morant. But I just think when you're already at that all-star level,
no. Yes.
But he did improve a lot, but I think there's a point where you kind of get disqualified from this award. Like once you're at that level,
right.
Like you're going to get better, but I don't want, this is an award for guys who are kind of struggling or not maybe struggling, but like a mid-tier player in the league that jumps up to another status. So I didn't want to consider Ja Morant. So my guy actually was Jordan Poole, another player you mentioned. I think Jordan Poole had a fantastic season. He had to fill in a lot he had to fill in when Steph was out. He had to fill in when Klay Thompson was out. So he's played really, really well for that Golden State team, who has been, you know, one of the better teams in the league this season. He's averaging 18.5 points per game and shooting the ball really well, taking tough shots. And I think from what we saw from him last year to this year, he made a huge jump. So he's my guy. Like I said, you had Garland first. I had him second. So between those two were the ones I really considered to be like the front runners for that award. So I think that's I think he's been fantastic. I don't hate the Garland pick, obviously, as he's my second guy too.
Yeah. So exam, we had the same players pretty much. So, you know, somebody's going to get the award and we'll see where we fall into this.
Right. Yeah. I'm excited to look back. We might have to at some point when all the awards come out, look back and see how we actually did. Well, let's move on to Sixth Man of the Year. I, again, had three players for this one. The first player I wanted to shout out is Cameron Johnson from the Phoenix Suns. I think he's done a fantastic job playing for them, coming off the bench there. He is a lights out shooter. I know it's kind of a sore subject for Timberwolves fans because he was drafted with the pick that the Timberwolves traded for Derek Culver, who obviously no longer a part of the team. But Cam Johnson, he's scoring like 12 and a half points off the game, shooting 42.5% from three. And playing good defense and doing a lot of that stuff that they really need off the bench in Phoenix. The second guy I have is Kevin Love, who I think has done a really good job in Cleveland. Just rebounding the ball, scoring, doing everything he needs to.
Knocking down threes. Yep.
Exactly. And then I think for me, the clear and obvious choice for the winner was Tyler Hero, a guy that's averaging 20 points off the bench. It's really interesting because I think a lot of time, I don't remember who coined the phrase. Maybe it was like Seth Partnow or someone called the Sixth Man of the Year award the points off the bench award. But really,
yes,
he's scoring almost 21 points a game off the bench. Like, he's almost the Miami Heat's leading scorer. He's been fantastic this year, shooting 40% from three on high volume, making tough shots, playing in crunch time. He's been really good. So I gave the award to Tyler Hero.
Well, it's really funny because we had the same three players, exact same three, and I gave the award to Tyler Hero as well. He's just had an outstanding season, shooting the ball, being available this year.
Yeah, that's another big thing.
And he's had a very good season. The Heat, number one team in the Eastern Conference. So I went with Tyler Hero as well.
Perfect. Let's move on to defensive player of the year, which might not be. This one's going to be interesting, I think, because it seemed like for years it was pretty clear cut, like who.
Right.
And you could pick a pool of players. And I would be like, yeah, I mean, that's a good case for any of those guys. So I'm interested to hear who is your defensive player of the year.
Well, I wrote down three players. My three players were Jaren Jackson Jr. He came in third for me. Marcus Smart. And Mikal Bridges. So it's really tough for me right now. You know, Mikal Bridges has that Villanova right. blood. And we stick together. That's the brotherhood. I think that he's had an outstanding season. He guards the team's best player. They are the number one team in the NBA. The Celtics aren't far off, but I ended up going with Mikal Bridges. But I do think that in the long run, Marcus Smart's going to end up getting this award. But my pick was Mikal Bridges. Like I said, you know, outstanding two-way player, plays the best player on the other team. And he's just done a terrific job. And I don't think the guy's ever missed an NBA game in his career.
4 years straight playing.
4 years straight.
I mean, not all 82 games, I guess, because last year was 72 and the year before that was the COVID year. But he's never missed a single game in his entire career, which is crazy. That, you know who else was like that coming in? I mean,
who's that?
Wiggins and Cat.
Carl Anthony Towns,
I don't think Cat missed his first game till like his fourth year. So he maybe didn't go quite as long as Bridges.
Right.
But I think he had three full seasons never missing a game. And it's just crazy how some guys are able to do that. Mm-hmm. Consistently year to year, and Bridges for sure has been a guy that has done that. And the other two guys you named, so I'll just say mine quick too. I had three players, the exact same three players that you did. But my order was, I had Mikal Bridges coming in third. I had Jaren Jackson Jr. as my second. And then I had Marcus Smart winning the award. I thought about Robert Williams for a little bit there with the Celtics also. But I just didn't really know where to, like, how to gauge that Celtics team because there's just so many really good defenders on it.
They're a very good defensive team. Very good defensive team.
But I settled into Marcus Smart, who's also played most of the games this season. He's played in 71 of their 82 games. But that's a big case for Mikal Bridges is he's guarding the best player, unless it's a center, every night. And he's playing every night. So he's not missing any of that time. So, like I said, great pick by you. I'm going to go Smart. Jaren Jackson Jr. I think has also had a really good year, for that Memphis team. And it's been great to see him come back after being injured, but yeah, I really like what Marcus Smart has done this season. I think he's one of the best players in the league at just navigating ball screens and getting through things that you shouldn't be able to get through. He's done a fantastic job. Mikal Bridges is also fantastic at that too. So like I said, you give me a, there could be a pool. You could throw other guys in.
Yes.
You could still throw Rudy Gobert in.
Gobert.
Here.
Yes, you could.
You could, like I said, Robert Williams can be in here, and I'm sure there's a handful of other names you could give me. And I'd be like, yeah, Bam Adebayo is another one. Giannis Antetokounmpo could be the defensive player of the year after what he's had to go through without Brook Lopez playing. So there's a ton of guys. I wanted to give love to a guard, which is why I went with one of Smart and Bridges. And now thinking about it, I maybe would have Bridges over Jackson Jr. Maybe I would do a Smart one, Bridges two. But either way, I'm excited for a guard to win it because I think as a whole, we just overvalue rim protection. And yes. I think what we've gotten to the point, at least for Timberwolves fans, understanding is that we've watched Karl-Anthony Towns try to play defense and have no perimeter defenders around him at all. And when he was in his drop coverage, when he's got guys coming at him from every angle because nobody can stop anybody, it's really damn hard. So to have a guard who can actually play some point of attack and stop penetration is huge. And I mean, you maybe said this, I can't remember, but who was the last guard to win? Gary Payton Jr. Last guard to win?
Yeah. Yes, he was.
Defensive player of the year.
It's been a while.
Yeah. So
it's been a while.
I think a guard needs to win it. It'll be interesting to see who does win it because I think it'll be a lot of votes for a lot of different people when the ballots come out. So I'm interested to see how the vote totals fall and who actually does end up coming home with this award. I think it's gonna be a tight race.
Yes, I agree with you. I think a lot of these races are going to be tight.
For sure. For sure. Well, we have two awards left. We got Rookie of the Year and we have MVP. Before we get into those, which will probably be more extensive conversations, we got to get one more quick ad break in, then we'll come back and talk about those two awards. Are you paying down your old credit card debt? A personal loan could be your solution. Loans usually come with fixed monthly payments, making them a simple way to help pay off your credit cards. Also, loans interest rates are typically way lower than your credit cards. So why don't you do that? Credit Karma can help you and find the best option for you. Credit Karma uses your data to find loan offers that are personalized to you, so you can have a better idea of what loan amount you can get approved for. Credit Karma will even show you your chances of approval, so you can choose between loan offers that you're more likely to get approved for and apply with more confidence. Comparing loan offers on Credit Karma is 100% free, won't affect your credit scores, and could save you money. You ready to apply? Head to creditkarma.com/loan offers to see personalized offers. Again, that's creditkarma.com/loan offers to find the loan for you. That's creditkarma.com/loan offers. Credit Karma, apply with more confidence today. All right, so we're actually going to stop the show where we're at for a moment. We're going to switch over to another conversation for about 15, 20 minutes. I'm talking to Johnny Avello. We talked about sports betting. He is a renowned odds maker, and he's also in the Sports Betting Hall of Fame. We're going to talk about Minnesota sports betting and the process that is happening right now, trying to legalize that in the state of Minnesota, what that will mean for people trying to wager on sports. Then we also talk a little bit about the lines for the play-in game, specifically the Timberwolves and Clippers that is happening on Tuesday. And then we just talk about how odds are kind of set and things like that. So we'll switch to that conversation, then we'll get back, talk about MVP and Rookie of the Year with Doug and close out the show. Thank you all, and we will be back with the show next. All right, welcome in, everybody. I am currently sitting here with Johnny Avello. I hope I said your last name right.
You got it right, Brandon. Good job.
And Johnny is a renowned odds maker, works for DraftKings, head of sports book there. Also in the Gambling Hall of Fame or Sports Betting Hall of Fame. What's the official title of that?
Yeah, Sports Betting Hall of Fame.
Thank just inducted this past winter. So I guess, Johnny, the reason we're talking is Minnesota seems to be getting at least somewhat closer to, you know, allowing sports betting to happen in state, which is something that I feel like, I mean, I'm not that old, you know, I'm probably just over the limit to be able to do that, but I guess it's never made sense to me why it hasn't been legal. So I guess, what do you have to say about that and what Minnesotans can expect, what they can do to help that pass and everything like that?
Well, you know, some states are slow to adopt sports betting. Some are aggressive, and I think some are a wait and see. And I think Minnesota, that's what they were. But, you know, the Senate is now considering legislation that could legalize sports betting in Minnesota. So what I say to everyone that lives in the state, if you want to access mobile sports betting in Minnesota, you can go to letminnesotabet.com and just ask your senators to pass sports betting now. Here's what happens, Brandon, is that people are betting in Minnesota. They're just betting illegally.
Right.
They're going to their bookies or offshore. So if you want this, you know, the state to receive tax money and people to actually get paid when they make a bet, then, you know, do everything I'm saying. And hopefully we'll have sports betting in Minnesota soon.
So I guess for maybe the listeners that don't really understand what type of sports betting we're talking about here, in Minnesota, you can do certain things like the daily fantasy sports and things like that. What type of betting can people expect if this motion or this bill does pass here in Minnesota?
Well, to break it down granularly, you know, to something that everyone is familiar with, it's like A versus B. So that could be a baseball game. That could be a basketball game. For instance, let's talk about a basketball game that I think you'll be pretty familiar with. And that's the Clippers playing the Minnesota Timberwolves tonight. And so that's A versus B. You have the Minnesota Timberwolves, a 3-point favorite over the Clippers. You can either what they call lay the three, where Minnesota has to win by more than three, or take the three, where the Clippers have to lose by less than three. If it fell exactly three, we'd get your money back. But then there's so many different options on how to bet this game. There's the total points scored, 231. You can bet over or under that. We have the money line where the team wins straight up and you don't use the points at all. You can bet that. And then alternative spreads, player props, anything you could possibly think of to bet on that has to do with this particular game. And we do that for all games in basketball, all games in baseball, the sports that are going now. And then, of course, football, which when that takes place in another few months, you know, then things really, you see an extensive menu.
Yeah. And I think it's, I think there, like you said, there's so many people that do it already. And I think it'd be beneficial for the state to, you know, take some revenue in from that. I guess that Timberwolves game, if someone was thinking about betting on that, you said the spread is, the Timberwolves are 3-point favorites. So that's the spread is -3 for the Wolves there. What goes into like making a spread like that? Like simplify for us, because I'm sure the process is extensive, but what goes into determining the spread on a basketball game or a football game or a baseball game? What kind of goes into the thought process and what formulas and things are used for that?
Yeah, you know, I can simplify it for you. So each team is awarded a power rating, and that power rating changes, it changes daily. And especially with basketball, because these teams play 2-3 games a week. And that power rating is about offensive production and defensive production, along to go with, some tangibles in there and coaching, and certainly injuries have something to play with it too. And then the home field advantage is the last piece that goes into it, home court in this particular case. And that's where we start with. That's how we come up with numbers. And it doesn't matter what sport it is that has a point spread. That's the way it's done. Now, baseball is done a little bit differently because the opening line is predicated on pitchers. So, of course, the stronger the pitcher, the more the price is going to be adjusted. And sometimes when you have a really good pitcher going against a terrible pitcher, you could see a price as much as lay $3 to win, you know, a dollar. So baseball is a little bit different, but in baseball, it's more about money line than it is point spreads.
Yeah. So I guess, it probably does depend a lot there with you know, injuries and everything like that. And the NBA too, like you said, they're playing 3-4 games a week. Speaking about the specific Timberwolves game tonight, you know, and the other playing games, I guess, let's move on to those. There's three other ones. There's another one that starts here in about 45 minutes. A lot of people probably won't be listening to this before the game. Some might tune in quick before, others might wait until tomorrow to talk about it, so they can kind of check back and see if that 3-point spread for the Wolves was a good bet or not, and they can kind of look at that. But we also have the Cavs playing the Nets today at 6, and then there's two games tomorrow night as well where we have the Hornets and Hawks, the Spurs and Pelicans. Check in on those games. Let's talk about the Celtics net or the Cavs Nets one. What's the line for that one for you guys? And what can fans look to if they were going to bet on that game? Tell me what they'd be betting for.
Well, the Nets were predicted to, you know, one of the teams to win the NBA championship this year. They were our favorite. And even when they were down around the 8th or 9th seed, they did finish with the 7th seed. When they were around the 8th, 9th seed, we still had them shorter odds. Now, the reason their success was limited this year was Kyrie Irving wasn't able to play in any home games. But once that was lifted, they certainly played better at home, and they finished the season pretty well. I don't think anybody's expecting the Nets to lose this game tonight. I mean, that would be a pretty good shocker for some Nets fans and some people betting on this game. But we did open this game 7.5, the Nets, 7.5-point favorite. We're now up to 9. So the money has come in on the Nets and also on the money line in the Nets. I think it was 90% of the money was on the Nets tonight just to win this game straight up. So so that's the first part of the doubleheader tonight, which will start here shortly.
And then let's look at tomorrow. We have an Eastern Conference and a Western Conference one. We have Hawks Hornets on Wednesday night at 6. That one's interesting. That's some really entertaining players there. But when we're talking about, you know, betting on these sports, what do we got for that Hawks Hornets? Who's the favorite? How much are they favored by? And that type of stuff.
The Hawks are a 4.5-point favorite over the Hornets. The total on that game is 236. That's total points scored between both teams. You could bet over or under that number. That total did open up 238.5, so they bet it under a little. The Hawks finished the season well. You know, they were predicted to have a pretty fairly good campaign, which didn't start off that way, but they're playing well now. Now, even though this line has not moved much, moved at all, actually, most of the money is on the Hawks. Last I looked, we had about 70% of all the money on the Hawks. Now, it is early. It's Tuesday. This game's not till tomorrow night. And, you know, probably only about 10 or 15% of the money that's going to come in on this game has come in already.
And then let's look at the Spurs-Pelicans game. That's the late game tomorrow at that 8:30 p.m. Central time. I guess I'm speaking in Central time. I'm from the Central time zone. But 8:30 p.m. Central time for the Spurs-Pelicans tomorrow night. What's the line looking like there?
Yeah, you know, the Pelicans had a couple of guys that were, probable for this game, possibly questionable. But those guys are going to play now. So we open this game up at 5.5. That 5.5 seems to be holding. That's the Pelicans, the 5.5-point home favorite. This is another total that dropped tonight. We opened 229.5. It's down to 227. Now, I said this game hasn't had much movement, but I would think that the Spurs will probably get a little bit of action here. I could see this thing dropping down maybe to 5 at some point tomorrow. Only because a playoff game in 5.5 seems like a bit for a couple of teams that kind of played very similar this year.
Yeah, for sure. So I guess I have a question about just the process of this too, going back to how things are set. You mentioned home court advantage playing a factor in this. So say hypothetically, this Wolves Clippers game that starts here on Tuesday night, say that's a game in LA. How much I know you don't have that formulated right now, but like, give me a rough estimate of how much that line can shift if it's, you know, a game in LA versus a game in Minnesota. Is it 5 points? Is it only 2 points? Or how much can a home court advantage really factor in? And does it matter do you factor in like average attendance and like home record and things like that? How does that even work?
Home record definitely has a lot to do with it. And it can, and so this, that home field, home court advantage gets adjusted every week for NBA teams, sometimes more. As for Minnesota, pretty good home court advantage this year. Clippers didn't play so well on the road. I would say that the Wolves home court advantage in this particular spot is worth probably about 3 to 3.5 points. So if this game was on a neutral court, probably be more of a pick 'em. If this game was in LA, then the Clippers would probably be the 3.5 point choice here because they have played well at home. It's pretty similar to how the Wolves has played.
For sure. Anything else you want to add about, I mean, just what Minnesotans could expect? And again, anything else they can do, maybe mention again that website they can go to and help get this bill passed through the, I think it's going, has to go through the Senate, correct? I think that's what it is. So that just is anything, any last thoughts on that?
I mean, if you want sports betting, which I think you should, it's the most entertaining thing you can do. And it's so great to be able to do it on your app and just pick your spots. If you're interested, go to letminnesotabet.com and just ask your senators to pass sports betting now. Those guys are considering it. And so not a better time to tell them that you want it. And hopefully, and DraftKings will be there. If it happens, we'll be there and with one of the finest products that for sports betting that you can use.
All right. Well, I think that's all we got. So thank you, Johnny, for coming on, informing us. I know I learned a lot. I'm sure the listeners learned a lot as well. I'll be heading over to that site, putting my opinion down on that one. So thank you again for coming on and joining us. We really appreciate it.
You're welcome. You're so welcome, Brennan. You have a fine day.
All right, Doug, we are back. We just finished up our defensive player of the year talk, and we're going to move into rookie of the year and MVP. We're going to start with rookie of the year. I assume the MVP is the cream of the crop one you want to save for the end. so let's just go rookie of the year. This one also is interesting. I think it kind of mirrors last year's where there was a really strong case for two players.
Yep.
And maybe even throwing this year, there's another good case for maybe a third and potentially a fourth player. So I'm just really interested to see how this all shakes out. I'll give out my third player who I didn't consider too much to actually win the award. And we can talk about him for a little bit. Maybe he is your winner though, but the player that I put as third was Cade Cunningham. He's had a fantastic year, especially late, but I don't want to overlook the struggles that he had at the beginning of the year.
Yep.
But with that being said, after watching this year, I think Cade Cunningham is going to be the best player out of this draft class. But I don't think he had the best season overall out of players in this draft class. So I put him third. Did he make, I don't know how many players you wrote down, but did he make your short list here and not win? Or did he sneak up and win it for you?
He made my short list in my brain because I only wrote two down, but I did think of Cade Cunningham. But I thought that, you know, his early struggles, missing some games, you know, early on there. And like you said, he did finish up strong. And I think his ceiling is very high. I mean, he's very, very good player. I mean, he can shoot the ball, put the ball on the floor, distribute the ball, athletic, gets to the rim. And he's just an all around solid player. And I had him, or I will take him as a third player.
Yeah. And he led rookies in scoring, 17.4 points per game, 5.5 rebounds, 5.5 assists. He started to shoot the ball better as the season went on. He struggled a lot earlier, so his three-point percentage is down. And Wolves fans can attest to Cade Cunningham's season. Looking at Ant's season from last year, Ant's really struggled at the beginning of the year. His percentages were way down. And then the second half of the season, he really took off. And it was kind of similar with Cade Cunningham. But like I said, the early season struggles were too long. And then he did miss almost 20 games too, for me to really consider him to be the guy, but right. He definitely deserves recognition in my opinion, to be that third guy. So I guess I'm assuming your other two are Scotty Barnes and Evan Mobley like me, or did you have anybody else thrown in there?
There are Scotty Barnes and Evan Mobley like you.
Okay, so who did you end up settling on being that winner?
It was tough. It was a really tough decision. And I, you know, I've looked at some things, and I went with Mobley. I went with Mobley being the winner. Mobley just does so much for that team, especially on the defensive end. I mean, he's a one-man zone. I mean, he can get the shots, contest shots, rebound, out of position, just does so much on the inside for the Cavaliers. And, it's been very, very – it's the times I've seen him play, he's just been outstanding on the court. He's just one of those guys that you drive in there. It reminds me of someone like a KG. You know, you were driving there. It's like, I got to kick the ball out. You know, this guy's going to block my shot. He's just going to disrupt everything inside the lane there.
Yeah. And I was going to ask you that. I was going to ask if you did see any similarities with KG, because KG was one of the best players to defend any position on the court.
Right.
Do you see a lot of that with Evan Mobley? Maybe not to the same extent and dominance, but just like in that capability to do that, especially at such a young age.
Yeah, I think as he progresses throughout, and every team starts switching now. Yeah. So if you're able to switch 1 through 5 and you're 5 or 4 or whatever, he's able to guard perimeter players. It just helps you out so much.
Yeah. And I don't want to compare him too much to, you know, one of the top 5 best defenders of all time. Right.
Yes.
But I did think that, you know, and I didn't watch a lot of Minnesota Kevin Garnett just because of how young I was. but especially in Boston, you know, he's maybe slowed down a little bit on the perimeter, but he's still so dominant. I just see some of those similar attributes. Obviously, Mobley's not the outspoken in your face personality that Kevin Garnett was. I don't know if there's many people like that, but the way they play defense, for sure, I could see a lot of similarities that way. So like I said, I also have Mobley and Barnes as my top two, but I actually went with Scotty Barnes to be my rookie of the year winner. And this was probably the one I had to think the hardest on of, like, I think it's the closest. This rookie of the year race was the closest award out of all the awards we're doing today, is what I'm trying to say. Even if you go look at their stats, they're eerily similar.
Yep.
They're both like 15 points. They're both like, Barnes is 7.5 rebounds, Mobley's 8.5 rebounds, but Barnes is 3.5 assists, Mobley's 2.5 assists. And they just, their shooting percentages are pretty similar. It's just crazy to me. The thing I liked about Scotty Barnes' season was when Scotty Barnes was drafted last year with the 4th overall pick.
Right.
There was a lot of controversy and upset people because Jalen Suggs was still on the board and Barnes, at least people thought, wasn't as good of a player as Suggs. And they thought Suggs would fit better in Toronto as more of like a guard to put next to Van Vliet, especially when you're going to be losing Kyle Lowry. But it turns out, and I still have really high hopes for Jalen Suggs. Obviously, it helps he's from Minnesota and we have that connection, watch him playing in state tournaments and things like that. But Scotty Barnes has just been dominant. He's another player that can guard all the positions on the court. His offense is leaps and bounds better than anybody expected it to be at the beginning of the year. He's just been fantastic. He can rebound the ball really well. You can use him as a point guard. You can use him as a power forward, and the way he moves on the court is just defensively is just kind of crazy to see. It's just interesting to me when they did draft him. I mean, Toronto is just like, give me someone that is 6'9".
I was going to say the same thing.
And we'll just figure it out. Cause you have Scotty Barnes, Pascal Siakam, OG Anunoby, Precious Achiuwa. They just have a litany of guys that can move their feet and are like 6'9" or taller, which is potentially the way basketball is going with switchability defensively. I mean, if you could just get a bunch of guys that can guard any position, it's going to be really hard to play defense or play offense against a defense like that. So I think he fits into what Nick Nurse is trying to do. That's a Nick Nurse.
That's a Nick Nurse trait there. You know, to have those type of guys that can play multiple positions and do a lot of things. And as long as they're able to shoot the ball, they'll be on the court. So that's big. That's a big Nick Nurse trait there.
Right. And he's not shooting the ball too well. He's 30%, but I don't think anybody expected even 30% from him coming into the season. Like, I think they expected him to never shoot a three because he wasn't good enough. And 30% is not world burner by any means, but it does give a little hope that maybe he could be a 35% shooter in a year or two, which would really open up his game and the Raptors around him too. So I've been impressed with Scottie Barnes, obviously enough to put him on my, or as my rookie of the year winner. I want to ask you about one other player that we haven't talked about there. Actually, there's been a couple other players. I want to just mention a few names that have been really good. Josh Giddey's been a revelation. He's been really cool to see how well he's played. He missed a lot of games too, so that hurts his case, but I don't think he really had a case anyways. Chris Duarte was fun for Indiana at the beginning of the year, kind of slowed that down a little bit. Franz Wagner was really good.
Yes, he was.
This season for the Magic. But the guy I really wanted to talk about a little bit, and he probably would end up being fourth on my list, was Jalen Green for the Rockets. Jalen Green really struggled at the beginning of the year, like kind of like Anthony Edwards, but I think he struggled even more than Ant did as a rookie. But Jalen Green came out these last handful of games and was just incredibly dominant, scoring the ball, shooting the ball. He was really, really good. So I guess my question for you is, what did you like from Jalen Green, and how much consideration did you put into him as a rookie of the year candidate?
I really didn't put a lot of consideration into Jalen Green. You know, Jalen Green is an outstanding athlete. He can shoot the ball. He can get to the basket. He can finish right, left hand. Unfortunate for Jalen Green, he's on a team that is just dysfunctional. They just have had one of the wildest seasons that I've ever seen. You know, some of the things that have gone on in the court with Porter Jr., you know,
yeah,
a young coach, you know, a lot of stuff that's, you know, he's trying to figure out. And you don't know really where the leadership was in that locker room. So it's really hard for that rookie there to just take off and to really get to, you know, in my opinion, where he wanted to be. And, you know, you look at these other guys, they have some veteran leaders in their locker room and probably held accountable. They weren't looked at to do, quote unquote, as much as, right, as he was. But again, he's another one that the sky's the limit for him.
Yeah. And I just wanted to mention his name because I think he had a great end of the year. In his last nine games, he scored 23 points in eight or more in eight of the last nine games. Only game he didn't, he scored 8 points in. But then he had a nice little like five game stretch,
uh-huh,
5 game stretch, scoring 30 every night. And then he scored 41 in the season finale for them. So, I mean, he's going to be a scorer in this league. Like, oh, you, yes, said, he's super athletic, probably one of the most athletic players in the league right out of the gate. That whole Houston team really is just incredibly,
yes,
athletic.
Very athletic. Yes.
Like all those young, I mean, you mentioned Kevin Porter Jr., but him, Josh Christopher, Jalen Green, Jayshon Tate, they just have a ton of guys that are super athletic, which is kind of fun to see them. Those young guys having fun, but like they got to figure out what they're going to do with all those guys, because the direction for that team, obviously they weren't trying to win basketball games this year,
right,
but the direction for that team needs to be figured out relatively soon, in my opinion, so they can start building towards something. Let's move on to MVP. Let's take this a little bit different route. Do you have three names written down?
I wrote two.
Two names. So, okay. So I'll just give my third name then, and you just tell me if he's one of your two, and then we'll talk about the two. So my third guy was Giannis. Is he one of your two guys?
No, he would have been third. He would have been, okay, third. He'd have been my third guy to share. I was keeping him off my sheet. And not that he's not deserving.
But you think the other two are just a step above?
I think the other two are just a step above this year. I think Giannis is, I mean, we know Giannis is Giannis. I mean, he's, yeah, a, you know, tremendous, plays hard every night. You know, you always look and you say, I mean, this guy is coming down the court full speed. He's going to run you over, dunk on you, whatever. He's elevated his free throw shooting. He's knocking down threes. You know, outstanding player, rebounds the ball, you know, scorer. You know, they may win the championship again this year,
right.
But I kept him as third as well.
Yeah. And I think those other two were a step above too. What's crazy is that we can look at these stats, 30 points, 11 and a half rebounds, almost 6 assists per game. And we're like third in the MVP race, and by a decent margin, he's third in the MVP race. So I think that's just to think about the top tier talent we have in the league right now. That's just a testament to that. Okay. So since we have the same third, that means I'm assuming unless something crazy happened, we have the same top two. I'm just going to say my winner quick, and then I'll have you say your winner. And then we'll just talk about those two and why we chose who we did.
I know they're totally flipped. So go ahead.
You think they are?
I think they're totally flipped. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm pretty sure they are too. I have Nikola Jokic as my MVP, and you have
Embiid as my MVP.
Okay. And we kind of talked about this. I don't know if it was on the pod or after the pod or whatever last time, but I kind of figured that's the way you were going. So give me the Embiid talk, why you think he's deserving to be our MVP, and then we'll talk about Jokic.
Well, I've actually, and they're both deserving. In my mind, they're both deserving. I mean, you look at, you know, Joel, he led the league in scoring, first center to do it since Moses Malone. 11 and a half, almost 12 rebounds a game, four assists per game, 1.5 blocks per game. You know, then I flip over and I look at Jokic, and he's 27 points a game, 13 rebounds a game, eight assists, crazy. 8 rebounds, and 1.5 steals. I mean, they're both there. I just felt that with what Joel Embiid came in, and again, I realize Murray's out for Denver, but he's been out since last year. He got hurt. He got hurt at the end of last year. He came in and had to deal with this whole Ben Simmons thing.
Yeah.
You know, a team where you have a lot of guys who hadn't really played. Like, you know, you look at Maxey. He's coming in, you know, playing for the first time, and Joel just put that team on his back. And at some point in January, he was by far ahead of everyone for the MVP. And then all of a sudden in the last month, I mean, you can lose all that in a month. You know, I don't see like the Sixers stay between two, three, and four for pretty much the whole year. Right. You know, I just think he's had a great season. He's led that team. You know, even when James Harden came in, he continued to play. I think there was a stretch there, but, you know, he's like one of the first in a long time to average 40, 10, and 5, you know, for a stretch there. So he did everything needed to lead that team and to have them or to give them home court advantage throughout, you know, the early parts of the playoffs here. So I'm going to stick with my Philly guy right now and go with Joel Embiid.
So I was just looking up a little bit. Embiid missed 14 games. Jokic missed
eight
games. That doesn't matter as much to me. What I was looking at was in the games that Jokic missed, his team went 2-6. In the games that Embiid missed, his team went 6-8. So both under 500 without him. Not a huge stark difference there either. What it came down for me was, I think, just how dominant Jokic is in every facet of the game offensively. Like, potentially the best passer in the league, for sure the best big man passer in the league, better rebounder, and still scoring 27 points per game, shooting the ball. His field goal percentages and stuff are not his 3-point percentage, but his regular field goal percentage is really good. It was a really hard decision, man. Like, both of those guys are deserving of the MVP. Right. And like, unquestionably, if I just hate the fact that when we go not us, but just people in general, when they make their case for MVP, that it's like, instead of making their case for their guy, they tear down the other guy. And you didn't do that at all. And I don't want to do that either. Because both guys are deserving. So what am I to come on here and say, yeah, but Embiid didn't do this, so he's not the MVP. I'm going to make my case for Jokic. I think that he scores the ball with the best of them. He's the best rebounder in the league, maybe second best rebounder in the league, whatever you want to say it. I guess Rudy Gobert is probably the best rebounder in the league. Right. And then he's one of the best passers in the league, and his defense has been pretty solid this year. So I'm going to go with him. Like you said, Embiid not struggled. He persevered through some tough things with Ben Simmons being out and all this stuff. And now he's playing with a ball dominant guard who seems disinterested if the ball's not in his hand lately, which kind of worries me for the Sixers playoff chances. But he's gone through, you know, just a lot of stuff this year with people not being in and out and his team completely changing all that. The Sixers and Nuggets records are pretty similar. The Sixers had 3 more wins than the Nuggets did. So it really kind of just comes down to
it's close.
Who would you see? Like, who did, I don't know. Embiid made a late push for me, and I almost put him over, taking over that scoring title. He had some dominant games down the stretch there. So it was so close.
You're not wrong.
Exactly. So I don't know. I guess I'm just glad I don't have a vote, so I can't
exactly
get destroyed online after it comes down. But like I said, both dominant players, both highly deserving of the MVP. And luckily it looks like one of them's going to win it, which is good. So I think it's good for the game of basketball that some big men have been winning the award lately, and it hasn't just been like a wing dominated award, because for a while there it was, and people thought that you can just get whatever center to kind of fill that gap and just get a bunch of dominant wings and you're going to win the championship. And it hasn't really been like that for the last couple of years. So like I said, I had Jokic barely over Embiid. You had Embiid. They both dominant, just 30 points per game for Embiid is just crazy. And I feel like I'm just rambling about it, but it's just insane to me to think, especially as Timberwolves fans, we look back at when Karl Anthony Towns was, you know, he was considered a better player than both of them early in their careers. He was the number one guy you'd want to start your franchise with. Mm-hmm. That's what NBA GMs voted on that. And now and it's not because Cat's gotten worse. Cat's still a hell of a player, but those two have just ascended far and beyond him. So that's been interesting to see how that's kind of unfolded. And I'm sure Cat doesn't like the fact that those two are running for MVP. One last thing. I don't know if you saw this. I don't know if it was the Denver Post or some Denver newspaper over the weekend. They asked a bunch of other NBA centers about Embiid and Jokic, who deserves to be the MVP, who's harder to guard, all this stuff. And Karl Anthony Towns was asked a few questions of there. First off, they asked him something about guarding Jokic. And Kat's answer was to compare Jokic to Mark Gasol, which just seemed a little whatever to me. But then they asked, who's the MVP, Jokic or Embiid? Karl Anthony Towns goes out and says, well, I think I'm the MVP. And like, I'm like, really? Like, what are your thoughts on him just coming out and saying he's the MVP over those two, when every other person on the list gave an answer? And then Karl Anthony Towns right in the middle, I think I'm the MVP. What do you have to say
about that? Well, I think he's an East Coast guy, and he's not going to put somebody else above him. It's just how it is. It's just, he's going to put himself, that's how he feels. He wants to have that feeling. Someone else votes those other guys as MVP. That's somebody else's opinion. But in his opinion, he thinks he's the best player.
And I guess we should be happy that he's confident, and yes, hopefully he plays up to that, to how good he thinks he is. And he is dominant. So I mean, he can play with the best of them. All right. Well, I think that's all we got for today. We don't want to take this too long, but I just want to get those awards out there. Doug and I will come back sometime, hopefully after this game on Tuesday night. If they play Friday, we'll hopefully try to record before Friday, because that could be the last game of the Timberwolves season. If they lose tonight and lose Friday, that could be the last one. Hoping they win tonight. Then we'll
good
record
thoughts.
Sometimes
good vibes. Good vibes. Let's have good vibes here. Let's go.
So otherwise, if they do win tonight, I believe the playoffs start for them on Saturday? I think Saturday. Yeah. Otherwise, sometime this coming weekend or like
it'll
early
be Memphis
week.
On Saturday, I think.
Yeah. So hoping for that. I don't want to play Phoenix. All those teams are going to be tough, but I really don't want to play Phoenix. So hopefully the Wolves can win tonight, get 7 seed, lock that up, go play against Memphis starting on Saturday. Otherwise, I think that's all we had for this show. So thank you, Doug, for coming on with your awards. I thought it was a good conversation. I'm glad we didn't have the entire same list so we could like just be like, oh yeah, we agree, move on.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what happens when this is all out so we can look back and see what do we really know, right?
Right. Probably. I don't feel like I know much, but I think that's going to do it. This has been the Believe in Timberwolves podcast presented by Bet Online. I'm your host, Brendan Hedke, sitting across from Doug West. We will be back soon. Thank you guys for listening and peace out.
Peace.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.